Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now, here's a question for my listeners. Are you an animal lover? Well, you all know that I am, and my guest today, he's really an animal lover. Can you imagine what it would be like to visit someone's home that was like a zoo? And I mean a real zoo. Have you ever wanted to know why your animals love you so unconditionally? Now, would you like to learn what happens when animals can help you heal? They can help you get through life. Tell me, have you ever heard of a new book called Love, Animals, and Miracles? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to connect with your animals? If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'll be introducing you to my guest. He has been on the show many times, and he is one of my favorite guests. He will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice and some great stories about animals. I'm pleased to announce that the show is now live on Talk4Media, and we are now syndicated on 6 networks with over 5 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. He has touched many lives all over the planet. In 1978, he reached a national and then international audience when he began talking about patient empowerment and the choice to live fully and to die in peace. He is a physician who has cared for and counseled many people whose mortality has been threatened by illness. He embraces a philosophy of living and dying that stands at the forefront of the medical ethics and spiritual issues our society grapples with. His latest book just came out last December, and it's entitled Love, Animals, and Miracles. In it, he talks about having a loving relationship with an animal. It's one of the most powerful factors in healing and maintaining well-being. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show today, Bernie Siegel. Dr. Bernie Siegel, welcome back. How are you, dear?
Oh, I tell people never to ask me that because I really tell them the truth, yeah. Okay. There are restaurants where the employees have been told, don't ask him when he comes in, how are you? Because okay. I always come up with, I've run out of my antidepressant, you know, and things like that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's to be honest with people. And I'd say, you know, we're talking about animals. Animals are honest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're always busy making up stories and lying and deceiving, and the animals are there. And I forgot who the quote was, but they said, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to worry about what you're saying. And I'd say, the way animals behave, they don't have to worry about what they're saying and doing, but people do. Yeah.
With animals, what you see is what you get, and I just adore my animal. As you know, my animal's quite famous because my animal's a talking dog, which most people don't have that experience.
Right.
However, your book is fabulous. I've been reading it. I can't put it down. You go from one story to the next. How long did it take to write this book, Bernie?
Well, I mean, the stories people sent in.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was me reading them.
Yeah.
And reacting, you know, what lessons they're teaching us, and to really get people to accept. I always say that I live by my experience,
mm-hmm.
not my beliefs. Now, what I mean by that is I don't close my mind. You know, it's like saying, well, that can't be true, or I can't believe that. But what if it is true?
Mm-hmm.
What if I'm telling you a story about somebody or an animal, and you can't accept it because it goes beyond your understanding? But
mm-hmm.
life is beyond understanding. I would not have trouble talking to Einstein because he lives with, you know, or lived with doubt and the
mm-hmm.
presence of miracles. So astronomers and quantum physicists are easier
yeah.
to talk to than the average person on the street. Yeah.
You know, what I love mostly, and you touch on this in your book so many places, the fact that animals can add so much to a person's life. We see this all the time with people who are terminally ill, people who are just getting older and are missing companionship. Animals are just there. Their love is so unconditional. They're really a gift to people who are lonely,
yeah.
aren't they?
Yes, and let me, you know, give you a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my neighbors is a senior, and
mm-hmm.
his dog died, and I meet him many mornings when I'm walking our dog.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, I don't want to get another dog because
yeah.
they might outlive me.
Uh-huh.
But I said to him, you will end up living longer if you get a dog
right.
than
mm-hmm.
if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And he does have some cats he's reminded me of, so at least
uh-huh.
he's got something.
But yeah.
in a study in Australia, a physician followed people who had a heart attack for 12 months.
Okay.
If they went home to a house with a dog, he found a 6% mortality rate.
Wow.
And in a home without a dog, 24% of the people died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, let me say this, because doctors sometimes don't see things in the way that I do. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's about relationships with your dog. Or with others. I mean, that relates to survival. But sometimes they'll say things like, well, maybe the dog growls if he isn't exercising. Or the dog growls if he sees him eating the wrong food. No,
mm-hmm.
it isn't the dog being his therapist and doctor. It's the dog changing his body chemistry by being present. And that's what people have to understand. This is science. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's not just,
mm-hmm.
oh, I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It's science.
But- And the other thing, too, is just aside from the companionship, I mean, our dog, of course, we got her as a gift for our grandson. And guess what? You know, the dog became our gift to ourselves. And the reality is, if we don't get her out to walk, we feel guilty. And guess what? It's so good for us to get out.
That's
and
right.
we go every afternoon. We have a little group of people in our community, and we meet every afternoon at 4 o'clock, and it's called Pooch Party. And we all go with our dogs. And it's probably the healthiest
well,
thing we do every day.
Right.
Don't
Let
you agree?
Let me give you another study.
Mm-hmm.
They compared people who joined a walking group. In
mm-hmm.
other words, those are a bunch of adults who would meet and walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then they compared them to people who had a dog.
Yeah.
What did they find? The people who had the dog did more walking than the walking group. And the reason I felt was, you know, if it's nasty weather, what does the walking group say? Oh, we'll
yeah.
skip today.
Yeah,
but if you got a dog, I got to get him out.
Yeah. Well, my dog has her raincoat. She has her snow coat.
Right.
And I put on my galoshes. And you're right. I feel like we're the postman. Rain, sleet, snow. We don't.
All our dogs always love when you take a big towel that I have by the front door.
Oh,
and you throw it over them and dry them down and rub them. Oh, they love it.
Well, you know, and people say that dogs can't tell time. Well, I'll tell you, I can argue with that one. Because when it gets to be 4 o'clock, guess where my dog is sitting?
Absolutely.
Right by the door.
I'm getting up now at 8 in the morning.
Oh,
and our dog is sleeping in our bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And under the bed, for some reason, he found it as his place.
Uh-huh.
But it's amazing. At 8 o'clock, what do I hear? I hear him shaking himself and, you know, the stuff on his collar tinkles and makes a noise. And it's amazing. Every morning when I hear him, I know it's 8 o'clock, you know, because otherwise he can get up, leave the room and come back and not make any noise. He knows he doesn't want to wake me up then. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what the good thing about it. Dogs get you on a schedule. They they help you reach out to other people, such as our group that meets every day. Plus, also, when you're out walking, other people are out walking their dogs. And there's just kind of this silent communication. My grandchildren come to visit, and we go to the dog park, and they know all of the dogs' names. And they'll say, well, like, that's Zorro's mommy, and that's and all of the people. Your identity is connected to your dog, and I think it's a healthy thing.
Yeah, if you walk with a dog, more people talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and here's another study, you know, the doctor in me.
Okay.
37% of women said in this study that the man they married, they met walking their dog.
You're kidding.
I tell that to women who are single and looking for a guy. I said, before you look for a man, look for a dog. Then you'll meet the guy and you'll be talking and things happen.
And, you know, we've also had some romances that have happened at Pooch Park.
Right.
And we're senior citizens.
No, I had what popped into my head is what my wife asked me. See, I take the dog for a walk. Our town has trails that they built around a cornfield. And I'll come back and she'll say, did you meet anybody today? I always laugh because she's worried, hey, the women will see him with the dog, you know. She has a good sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. I know she does. She'd have to.
As a matter of fact, the other
she's
way.
She's married to you.
Any women listening, if your husband gets angry or your boyfriend starts making noise and you have a dog, you say, you're upsetting the pet.
Okay.
And I have to laugh because, you know, that's her way of letting me know, hey, calm down. But I say, that doesn't solve my problem, but it gets me smiling. You're upsetting the pets.
Well, you know what?
They're all looking at me.
What gets me smiling is when we hear from our wonderful sponsors. We're going to hear from them.
Okay.
And when we come back, Bernie and I are going to talk about some of the fabulous stories in his latest book, Love Animals and Miracles. We'll be right back with Bernie.
The Boy on Shady Grove Road explores a humble but adventurous childhood in rural Arkansas during the 1940s and 50s. Clyde McCulley's juvenile innocence and sense of wonder capture universal mysteries and dreams of childhood while coming to terms with family, friends, and faith in the segregated South. With wit and heartfelt gratitude, The Boy on Shady Grove Road ponders the most basic questions while celebrating the warmth of belonging, the joys of freedom, and the simple pleasures of life. Available on Amazon and StoryNightPress.com. January Jones presents Drs. Ed Feyereisen and Bob Ruotolo, co-founders of Motive Creations, as sponsors. For those seeking more empowerment and control over their happiness and well-being, you have come to the right spot. MC365 provides the necessary tools and techniques to make your life even more spectacular. Today is the perfect day to start your journey to become happier and healthier. our mission is to help you achieve yours. Seeking to reduce stress? Start now. Want a better relationship? Start now. Increase your self-esteem? Start now. Do you want more passion in life? Start now. Enroll at www.januaryjones.com. That's januaryjones.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone, and I'm visiting with one of my favorite no whiners in the world, Dr. Bernie Siegel. He is the author of a new book, Love Animals and Miracles. Bernie, share with my listeners a little bit about what it was like for your children growing up in the Siegel Zoo.
Well, first, people should know, we just have a house with an acre and a half. You know, it's okay. The usual. Mm-hmm. Because people thought we were on a farm. But I have been rescuing animals, and again, to share things with people, whether they believe it or not, I think why I'm a doctor and why I've been rescuing creatures has a lot to do with a past life I experienced, where I did things with a sword, not a scalpel. And so I just, it was in my heart to just keep rescuing all these creatures. And so in the front yard, we had a fence that I put up that had ducks and geese in there with an artificial pond I made for the rainwater to run into. We had goats there. And everybody had names. I mean, we had mice in the house and gerbils and turtles and, you know, exotic pets, a kinkajou, a python. I mean, all kinds of creatures running around the house. And everybody had a name. They were family. And what I saw evolving was what Schweitzer talked about as a reverence for life.
Okay.
And that's been in my heart. I mean, I've been saving the lives of worms for years and really feeling I was neurotic until Schweitzer gave me therapy. Because, you know, when you're walking the dogs in the morning after it's rained and you see all these worms, I can't walk by them. I've got to pick them up. I even have to try to keep my, you know, fingernails long enough so I can pick them up and not hurt. And, you know, I just thought, look, you're nuts, so accept it and just do it. And then I came across Schweitzer's writing in which he said, if you walk after the rain and you see a worm, pick it up and return it to the earth. And if you see an insect in a puddle, give it a leaf to climb on. When I saw that, my heart was relieved that it was where I was coming from. And our kids are like that. I mean, they would get mad at me for trying to kill a bug in the house.
Right.
You know, and even now when our cats will bring in chipmunks and other little things, I don't try to kill them. I try to catch them. And I have to say, I'm amazed at how intelligent some of them are, because a little while ago, I kept seeing our dogs and cats hanging out in our bedroom and in our bathroom. And I was thinking, what are they in here for?
Yeah.
I thought, oh, they must have brought something in that they're, you know, hunting.
Yeah.
And sure enough, behind this piece of furniture in the bathroom, here was this little chipmunk.
Oh,
and
my God.
I thought, what a smart little character, because in our bathroom, there's cat food in a dish and a water bowl.
Sure.
So I thought, what a smart little guy. He's in a place where nobody can fit in to get him, and he's got all the food and water he needs. So, you know, I try to catch him in a wastebasket, scoop him up, and then I carry them out, or I pick him up and put him outside again. But
you think it's something that is so important for children to be raised with animals, just as your children were, because that's something they take with them forever, don't they?
Let me tell you this, because it really touched my heart.
Mm-hmm.
One of our children went to the FBI Academy, and at his graduation, they show you a film of all the things that they go through in training. One of them is, and think how you would answer this, are you capable of killing someone? If they answer no, they're rejected as a student. And I thought, wow, one of our children said yes. Now, that could be to defend people, you know what I mean, but think of the headlines we're reading.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I get an email a year or so ago from the same son. Dad, I was taking some classes down here in Virginia, and there was a break between the classes, so I went for a walk. And what do I see on the street? A turtle. Then his sense of humor came in. He said, it must have been a male who refused to ask for directions. So
I picked him up,
and I spent half an hour to find him a pond, and I released him there. Now, that touched my heart, too. Here he is, spending a half an hour of his time to save the life of a turtle. See, I wouldn't worry about him having a gun, you know, because if he's going to use it, it's going to be for the right reasons. Not to take lives, but to save lives. And that's why we grow up. If you grow up with love, it changes your health. I mean that literally. If there's self-love, as well as the ability to love others, it prolongs your life, keeps you healthier, and helps everybody else.
And the other thing, Bernie, I feel that animals are so important when it comes to teaching children about the cycle of life, because as you know, there's living and dying.
And you're reminding me.
Losing animals can be so traumatic, but it also helps you experience that there are going to be really, really big losses in life. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I wrote a book called Buddy's Candle. And it's for that purpose, to help people deal with the loss of a loved one. And let me just say the punchline, say that your dog Buddy dies and you're grieving. And then the angel of death takes you up to heaven to see the parade of all the dogs who died this month in heaven. And they all walk by carrying a beautiful candle. And then you see a dog with a dark candle. And you say to the angel, oh, there's a dog whose candle is out. Oh, go light it. And it's your dog, Buddy. And you say, Buddy, your candle's out. I'm here to light it for you. And he said, they do, but your tears keep putting it out.
That's the part
that helped me most of all, that experience. Not to, you know, spend my life grieving when our dog wants us to enjoy the day. And that's what they teach us. You know, enjoy the moment and the day. They don't worry about their diagnosis or what disease they have. They're saying, let's have a nice day.
Yeah, and animals are just, they're in the moment, constantly in the moment. As you said, they're not worried about the past. They're not worried about the future. And they're living life the way we're all meant to live it.
They're
sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, I wanted to share one that always touched me, because we we saw a couple of rabbits running around in the woods near our house, pet rabbits that must escape from somebody's home. So we trapped them in a Hebehart trap and brought them in, and they became our house pets. I mean, because the rabbits are like cats. I mean, they're so smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can't help but think of things that the rabbit actually did. It was Smudge and Snowflake, because they were black and white. But I'd be sitting on the couch reading a book, and Smudge would jump up, grab the book in her teeth, and throw it on the floor. And I knew she was saying to me, hey, I want you to rub my stomach. Never mind the damn book. But when she had been here about 10 days, and I thought everybody knew each other, I made a mistake. I went out of the house for a few minutes and didn't close the pet door. And she was in the front yard, and the dog was, Furphy was in the house. And when I came home, oh, it broke my heart because he had grabbed her and obviously shaken her like a stuffed toy.
Uh-huh.
And so the vet and I were taking care of her. And then a few weeks afterwards, I go out in the yard to bring her in, which she never liked to do because she said to me one day, you don't treat the cats this way. And I mean it consciously. I heard her say it. And I said, because the cats can take care of themselves, you can't. And after that, she would let me pick her up. You know, I said, if a predator jumps the fence, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
But that night when I went out, I couldn't find her. And I'm wondering, where the hell is she? It's just a front yard, you know, fenced in, but still, it's no big, enormous area. And then I saw Furphy lying on the ground. So I went over to pet him. And who's lying behind her back, tucked his back, tucked into all the fur so I couldn't see her? Smudge. And that impressed the hell out of me. They were now buddies. They were friends. No fear, no hurting each other. And the other was when I would take care of her wounds, you know, I put her on a counter in the kitchen and work on them, she would lick my hand. And that to me was a signal, it hurts, take a rest. Not a bite, you know?
And that's
why the animals impress me. And I may say, when you were talking about loss and death, that one, you know, every time I'd come home, the kids would say, oh, you know, this animal needs this. And I said, look, you got to understand something. I'm going through this all day long with people.
People,
and
yeah.
And it isn't easy for me to come home and then have to save a turtle's life. You got to understand that, you know, creatures die, you know, whether it's people or animals.
Yeah.
And so they eased up a little bit on me. But I mean it. I've done cesarean sections on guinea pigs.
Oh, my gosh.
On turtles. I mean, because I felt if I could help them, okay. But for the kids to understand, that didn't mean everybody was going to make it. You know, I would just try to do what I could. And besides the reverence for life, you learn that, you know, life is temporary and we're here to learn and love. And
animals are, they're some of the best teachers in the world, and as are you, Bernie. And right now, we're going to hear from my best sponsors in the world. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about his wonderful book and what it takes when you become a family with your animals. We'll be right back.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in 4 different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. The new book, God Reconsidered, Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out www.godreconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's godreconsidered.com. With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. the Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine. Certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive, she brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channeled journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Dr. Bernie Siegel, and we're talking about his wonderful new book, Love Animals and Miracles. You know, Bernie, we were talking about animals teaching us a little bit about the cycle of life. Share it with us. I read in your book about the fact that animals and people, many times, they choose to die at night, at nighttime, don't they? Tell us about that.
Well, and I have to say that for many people, death is a failure. I'd say more than the animals. You know, you're upsetting your family. It'll be painful for them.
Yeah.
Also, if I want to die and the doctors are here, they won't let me. I mean, literally, one doctor wrote an article entitled Not on My Shift, because he and two other doctors were showing off how they could keep this man from being dead on their shift. And he finally woke up to, what am I doing to this man?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not letting him die, but he isn't living, lying in an intensive care unit. And at the end of the book, Love Animals and Miracles, if you recall, there's a story about Furphy, because I was in my office with a man, and he said to me, can you tell me what it's like, that transition to die?
I said,
no, I can't give you every detail what it will be like for you. And the man said, well, you're a spiritual person. I thought you could help me. And then we heard scratching at the door. I opened the door, and in runs Furphy. And I said, there's your answer. He said, what are you talking about? I said, look, I'm his master, his Lord. I opened the door. He has faith in me. He rushes right in. He's never been in this room before. He doesn't know what he'll encounter when he comes in, but he has that faith, and so he comes.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And I say for people to understand that you know, the animals understand it intuitively and do it. And may I add, which, again, really happened, I don't make up any stories. Murphy was getting old. His heart was pooping out, and I was giving him all kinds of healthy supplements, you know, what you'd call alternative medicine, complementary. And he was doing well. And then one night, he went to sleep in the bedroom with us, where he would, on a little pad. And I woke up, and he wasn't in the bedroom. And I walked into the kitchen. He had died in the kitchen on a mat there. I really felt that he didn't want to upset me. I got up in the middle of the night and found him dead, and how I would feel. So he left the room, to go do his thing. And I would find him in the morning. And I can say our pets and our family have done the same kind of thing with us.
Sure.
You know, they let us know when they're ready. And one other, see, there are many times this dog named Duke died on Father's Day. You don't forget him, ever.
No.
Because
every Father's Day.
And I began to build a cairn for him, a stone monument. And so every morning I would go out and pick up a stone and add it to the pile. And one morning I heard his voice. Why don't you bring me a flower?
Okay.
That was such a gift. And I mean it. I hear voices. And I knew it was Duke. Why don't you bring me a flower? See, from then on, I'm not looking for a rock. I'm looking for something pretty to bring
pretty
to him. And it really touched my heart that he did that for me.
What do you tell people who lose a beloved pet and they're, you know, obviously, as we spoke about earlier, their tears, they're grief-stricken. Do you think it's a good idea to turn around and get a new puppy right away, or do you think you need to?
Well, a veterinarian friend said to me, don't replace them. Don't think of it in that way. In other words, if a dog dies, see, I wait for God. That's my expression. For God to tell me when to go to the shelter.
Percy
died. The dog Buddy died in the same year. And I bury them all around the house. Everybody has the monument, so I know where they are, and I keep talking to them.
And then I get
a message, you see, and I mean it literally, like hearing a voice. Go to the animal shelter. Well, I mentioned I wrote that book, Buddy's Candle, okay? I finished the book, went out of the house with Furphy, and a voice said, go to the animal shelter. So I went there. I walk in, there's a dog sitting by the door. What's his name? Uh-huh. His name is Buddy. He's been here less than 15 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
And I took him right home. See, I didn't say, because they told me the people didn't like his behavior. I didn't say, what is it? What did he do? I just said, I'm here to take him home.
Oh, and I did.
And I may add, you see, again, what you learn from them. On the way home, he jumped out of the car when I stopped for gas and ran down this busy street. And we had a hell of a dime catching him because I was yelling to people. He doesn't know me. I mean, I just picked him up at the shelter, you know. So he didn't think I'm nuts and he's nuts. But anyway, we got him back in the car. When I got home, I learned from my animal intuitive friend, Amelia Kincaid, who has a story in the book, too. See, Bernie, quiet your mind. You'll get into the animal's mind. Don't scream and yell and, you know, why did you do that? What's the matter with you? I quieted my mind. I said, why did you act like that? And what I heard was, I belonged to a couple. The husband was an alcoholic. Whenever the wife said to him, take the dog for a walk, he never did. He would just lock me in the car and he would go drinking in a bar. And then he would abuse me. I don't ever want to be in a car.
Okay.
I said, I would never treat you that way. You don't have to worry. And I can tell you that when I would say to him, come here, he would back up. When I'd pick up a broom or a stick in the street, you know, to clear the road, he would cringe and back up. I know he was abused.
He had been abused.
Yeah. I know that story was real. But 2 weeks later, I came back to our car and the side door was open. I had hit the button, I guess, putting it in my pocket. So the minivan door opened automatically. And he was sitting in an open car waiting for me. And Murphy was missing. I began to yell his name. Then I hear Amelia say, quiet your mind, communicate with the dog. And I knew he's in Stop and Shop looking for me. That's what Murphy's like. So I went into Stop and Shop. And there he was with the security guard. Yeah. And he said, you looking for a dog? I said, yeah. He said, here, I got him. I've been giving him treats. He's waiting for you. But that's what Murphy was like. He has snuck into restaurants where they didn't allow pets. You know, I've left him at the back door. And because I would go in the back door of the restaurant because he would sit, like if I went in the post office, he'd sit by the door. And then I'd come out and pick him up again. But this time I'm sitting in the restaurant. He comes around the building and he came in the front. And I learned this because somebody's walking through the place yelling, whose dog is this? But when I told him what he had to do to get in, they said, well, then we'll let him stay.
See, Bernie, this is why I love having you on the show, because I talk to my dog all the time. And guess what? She talks back to me. Right. And I, you know, I'm so happy to have someone on the show who can confirm that this is something that normal people can do all the time. It's what I love sharing.
Well, let me share two one meaningful story that's in the book and one little one.
First, I have to share our sponsor. But when we come back,
I'll tell two stories. All right.
Okay, for sure. We'll be right back with Bernie Siegel.
Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Miller, the great success creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com.
Are you ready for revolution? Are you tired of a life that doesn't feel like you anymore, that doesn't uplift you and create wholeness? You are ready for something different. Stop making life hard and find your enjoyment revolution. Laughter, alignment, and real change. Sustainable change. Deep, beautiful, creative, unfolding change. Come join us at enjoymentrevolution.com. It will change the way you do life.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions. Also, I'm pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is available at audiblebooks.com. And today I have one of my very favorite Priceless Personalities visiting with us, Dr. Bernie Siegel. Bernie, share another story with us.
Yeah,
I love these stories.
One is a little practical one so people understand that the animals know what we are thinking.
Yeah.
Two outdoor cats. And I said to the vet, if I'm ever going to bring them to you, you know, for rabies shot and things, the only time I could grab them would be in the morning when they come for breakfast. And he said, fine, just bring them in right away in the morning when you grab them. The two cats did not show up.
Okay.
A week went by, no sign of them.
Mm-hmm.
I called the vet and I said, it's getting nuts. You know, it's screwing up your day and my day, so let's forget it.
Yeah.
Guess who showed up the next morning for breakfast?
Okay.
I mean, if anything proves that they know what's going on in your mind, that does.
Well, did you grab them?
That, oh yeah. I mean, one of the vets is good to me. He said, knowing I'm a doctor, sometimes he'll give me, you know, the shot. It's...
Not really
legal to do that, but he lets me take it home and give it to them and believes when I say I did it. But another story that's there by a woman I know, Audrey Carlson. In the house, there are three daughters and a wife and the dad and the husband. And she wanted to bring another male into the house. So she wanted to get him a male dog so he would have company. And she was at the breeder's house and saw this beautiful little black poodle and said, oh, I'd like to take that home. And because she had brought a dog there that was a female also, you know, to be bathed. But the vet said, I'm sorry, that's the pick of the litter. Somebody already has chosen it. So she went home without it. The daughter was murdered a year or so later.
Oh, my gosh.
And it just tore the family to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were recovering, they thought, let's go and get, you know, a male dog for Dad, and he'll feel better.
Yeah.
So they went down to the breeders, and the place was filled with these poodles. I mean, this one room was just, they were running crazy all over the place. And the breeder gave a signal, and they all stopped what they were doing, except one little black poodle that ran over, jumped into the father's lap. He was sitting in his chair, put his paws on his shoulders, and really, the two of them looked into each other's eyes, and both began to cry. The father was just crying. Nobody knew what's going on here. And then the breeder said, that's the dog your daughter picked out for you. It was brought out by the people. They couldn't keep it. And
that's
the dog. And they took it home. And what a difference it made in their lives. And those things, I keep saying,
are not special
coincidences. Yeah. I mean, they're happening
now,
because
Bernie,
people
I want
are paying attention to their intuitive wisdom. Yeah.
Right. I want you to share the one story that touched me deeply. It's the one about the girl whose father told her after his death that she should look for a bald eagle. Could you share that story?
That's the one with the kite, you mean?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Kite story.
I love that story, too, because as the father said, you know, I'm always I'll be present. I'm always there. And the consciousness is. People have to understand that. The body dies, consciousness doesn't. So that's why these things are not accidents. But anyway, the daughter moved out, I think, to California it was, where there weren't any bald eagles, you know. And she thought, how's this going to happen? How can I ever get a sign from my father?
Yeah.
And then she got a birthday present in the mail. And she opened it. And it was from a member of the family who never really sent her any birthday presents. And she opened it, and it was a big kite. And as she unfolded and opened the kite, it was an eagle, a bald eagle kite.
Wow.
And she called the relative to say, why did you send this to me? And she said, I don't know. I was in this store, and I felt I had to buy it for you and send it to you. And believe me, again, those are not coincidences. I tell people, you know, keep looking. Keep an open mind, an open eye. One man, I can't remember all the anecdotes and stories I put in here, but one gentleman, the father of a boy who died, and the boy was very into butterflies. And he said after his son died, he's walking around the woods of Connecticut just trying to relax when this butterfly joined him and just kept walking with him and all around. And it was a gorgeous butterfly, he said. So when he got home, he went up to his son's room to look through all his pictures and books, and he found this butterfly. Where is it from? It is a butterfly only living in South America.
Oh, my gosh.
What's it doing in Connecticut? And I'll tell you one other butterfly story. I wrote a story. It's on my website called You Can't Sleep with a Butterfly, because a patient of mine went to the Hawaiian island of Kauai to straighten out her relationship with her mother before she died, and she died there. We went there a year or two later to do an outdoor workshop. We went into a store the night before the workshop to get some things, and there was a butterfly flying around in the store. And so my wife, again, we're rescuing everything, put up her hand, butterfly lands on her hand, and we carry it outside, expecting it to leave. But instead, it sits on my wife's shoulder. And it wouldn't leave, so we just got in the car and drove to the hotel. Then, instead of flying away when we get out of the car, it goes up to the room with us.
Okay.
And, you know, and why that line, you can't sleep with a butterfly, you know, we have dinner, we're going to go to bed. I said, honey, you can't sleep with a butterfly. Get rid of it. Brush it off your shoulder. So my wife went out on the porch, brushed it off, came in and said, okay. I said, honey, look at your other shoulder. It came back in on her other shoulder. And I have photographs of all this going on. It's sitting in her hand on her shoulder. So I thought, okay, if that's the spirit of my patient, I just started talking to the butterfly like a person. We're going to do a workshop tomorrow. I'll talk about the symbol of a butterfly being transformation, and I want you to get in a bag, and so nobody knows I have a butterfly. Then I'll open the bag, you fly out after I give a talk. And sure enough, the next morning, I put up this little paper bag, butterfly goes right in, and we drive to the workshop. I gave my little talk on butterflies, open it, butterfly comes flying out, and what did it do then? It flew over our heads from 9 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night.
Oh, my gosh.
When the workshop was finished and everybody started leaving, it left too. And you can't tell me that that's a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean,
it was just unbelievable, you know, experience.
Story.
But it just opens my mind to all these things.
Well, I want my listeners, we have to go now, but I want my listeners to know that you can get this book. It's available at Amazon.com. It's also available at Bernie's website, BernieSiegel.com. This book has story after story. Once you pick it up, you can't put it down. And Bernie, I hope that you'll come back again and visit with us next month, because we still have so many stories to talk about.
Yeah. Even I've noticed in some of my other books that I have written stories about animals. They've been my teachers for a long time, and I've never stopped to really think about it in that way, but they sure are. They're
well,
Yeah, it's hard for me to stop talking and stop telling you stories, but about how they have saved people's lives
by how
they dealt with illness and all kinds of things. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have you back next month, and we're going to talk some more because I love having you. I love sharing you with my listeners. Thank you so much.
Oh, bless you, January.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Bernie, and I hope you all go out, buy his book. It would make a great gift, Mother's Day, Father's Day, for anyone. This book is amazing. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Dr. Bernie. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World when you can sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our secrets for success. And we really do love sharing our stories about our animals and our pets. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop whining, start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate, and remember to keep on petting your pet. Thank you to my guest today, Bernie Siegel. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sarantos.
This is Sarantos, and you're listening to January Jones. This is Sarantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.